This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
I know that you one really wanna live my life too.
I wanna live.
And if folks don't understand to tell the truth, I could really give less than a damn. And any relative that ain't relative to us will object to a union and invitation. No matter, as long as we got the rings and best man, true family and good friends. Oh yeah, and one more correction. You won't be my lover anymore. You'll be my husband, a wife, a spouse. The one who really wanna get my life together.
Program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
It's 2 a.m. on the East Coast, 11 p.m. on the West Coast, and over in England, Prince William is looking for a queen. I'm available. But it's 1 a.m. in the throbbing heart of the Montrose, and it's time for After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. Hey, I may not look like the queen that Diana would have been, but I'm sure as hell better than Victoria.
Oh, Oh, yeah. So who are you?
My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'll be the other one. You just have a different opening every week.
I try.
Yeah, I know. You're good at that. That's good.
I've got a 30-minute...
That was a loaded opening right there.
I got a 30-minute drive in here.
I see.
I got time on my hands.
You've got time. Okay, let's see. We've got a lot of stuff going on tonight, so let's get kind of right into it.
Why? We don't have a first half, do we?
Well, who knows? Well, our second half will be our first half, if it comes to that. When an administration lies to divide us, inflames our fears to drive us to war, erodes our Constitution, and tortures, we have impeachment, our right, our duty. An event for speeches, protesting, networking, petitioning, postcard writing, on Monday, April the 9th.
Which already happened last
week. It already happened. Okay, we did that. But it was at RMCC, and I'm sure it was lovely.
Reading is fundamental.
Yeah. Well, here's one that isn't happening until
April
the 18th.
It's a good thing you're talking about something like that, because we got people from last week that should have been here the week before. And
So it works.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay.
Fast-ackwards dating around here.
The Prison Show, a documentary, is... Ray Hill finally got his act together, and now he's officially on film, other than the other three films that he's made. But
well, Cops wasn't around when he was doing the crimes.
Yeah, I know. Well, Wednesday, April the 18th, 2007, at 7 p.m. at the Olson Auditorium, Academic Building 4, at Sam Houston State in Huntsville, they're going to have a showing of The Prison Show, a documentary. And Ray would love for as many people as possible to come up there and see that with him. He's going to be there, and of course, you know, afterwards there'll be a lively discussion with Ray.
That'll probably continue until the next morning.
Yeah. So, but that's kind of neat that's happening then, because during the day, the gay and lesbian and straight education network, LISTEN, is sponsoring a day of silence that's set for April the 18th. Hundreds of thousands of secondary and college students are expected to participate in LISTEN's Day of Silence on April the 18th to bring attention to anti-lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender bullying, harassment, name-calling, and discrimination in schools. A project of LISTEN, in collaboration with the United States Student Association, the 11th annual National Day of Silence will be one of the largest student-run days of action in the country. Students at more than 3,000 schools already have registered at dubcubed.dayofsilence.org to participate, many of whom will take a vow of silence, wear stickers, and or pass out cards explaining why they are not speaking. Cool. Now, some of the fundraisers going on tonight, and I'm not going to be covering all of them because we have Reese's in the house, and they're going to be talking about stuff going on.
Well, we've got enough organizations in there to...
Oh, I know.
To throw an event after Mardi Gras.
We've got probably six guys that represent 18 different organizations in there. So
our hat rack is full.
Yes, it is. ICOH at the Hop, hosted by Gemini Empress Ginger Vitus, is happening Sunday, April the 15th at the BRB, 7:30 p.m. That's like after you go to bed tonight and wake up, it's that night. Her Majesty is taking a trip down memory lane and is dragging us with her. So break out the pool skirts and saddle shoes, or grease back your hair. Oh, never. And put on your leather jacket. Oh, I've got that. Because we're having an evening at the Hop.
I don't think they're talking about leather jacket that's lined with ermine.
No, it's mink.
It's mink.
Yeah. Don't forget to check out Legacy's new resale shop, The Lasting Legacy, at 1232.
I hope Janice Blue wasn't listening to that.
Screw her.
How do you really feel?
This will be a direct benefit for the crew of Olympus through ICO. This is a direct benefit for the crew of Olympus. Then, Saturday, April the 28th, the Eastside Trash Show, presented by the reigning emperor of Eastside Trash, Randy Hatcher. And she's not just original, she's extra crispy. Gemini Empress, Chanel the Great. And so
choke on the big ones like that.
break out your trashiest numbers and let's get dirty. That's happening at EJ's at 9-ish. All community entertainers welcome. And that's a fundraiser for Rain 5. Proceeds benefiting the Legacy Community Health Services Drug Assistance Program. And then we get into May, and I don't think I'll do those. But, of course, every Wednesday night, ICOH has the jukebox show over at Mary's at 8, 9, whenever. And this week, it's just the regular one, but we've got the, let's see, what we've got is the Last Dance Show, Friday, April the 20th, from 9 until 11. That's happening at the BRB, 2400 Brazos. Come out to the BRB on Friday, April the 20th. Enjoy a great show hosted by Marilyn. This is Marilyn's last show before she steps down as Miss Gay Pride Houston. And this show benefits the PWA Holiday Charities. And I do want to make a mention of a big happening that's going on at the end of the month on April the 28th. Kindred Spirits 6th Annual Reunion Celebration happening at the Edwin R. Hornberger Conference Center at 2151 West Holcomb. Tickets are $25 at the door, $20 in advance, available at Acadian Bakery, 604 West Alabama, DeCapo's, 1141 East 11th, the Houston Buyers Club at 3224 Yoakum, and Bocado's Restaurant and Bar at 1312 West Alabama. And this benefits Assist HERS, Bearing Support Network, Houston Buyers Club, and the Lesbian Health Initiative. That is going down memory lane to the sixth annual Kindred Spirits Celebration, a reunion of friends and family who frequented that fabled era, 80s era women's nightclub, and those who wish they had, owned by Marion Coleman. The dance party is scheduled April 28th from 8 until 1. And so that would be the place to be. And
are you going to give up on reading now?
Yes, okay. It's your turn.
Well, you didn't give me anything to read. I was just bringing the guests.
Oh, okay. We can do
you're,
that.
You're dying in there.
Yeah.
Oh, good. He's leaving.
Oh, thank you.
You know, as bad as Roy, I mean, you might as well start breathing heavy into the microphone if you keep messing up the reading script. All right, we got a gaggle of people in the other room, and I got to turn them. Hold on, that one there. Okay.
Who all do we have in here tonight?
Hey, pick a mic.
Pick a mic.
I mean, I can barely hear Jimmy. Let me turn this up here. We've got enough mics because two people are hiding, or one person's hiding.
Lloyd's hiding. Is this one working?
Sadly, yes.
Okay. Okay, bitch. Now, who do we have?
Guess what? It doesn't work now.
Jimmy, we're kind of wondering about your shopping list here.
What kind of interview is this going to be?
Johnson's we baby found it
oil,
here.
A battery, and a
throw knob. Yeah.
And remember, Hot and Bothered was on before, so you have no idea.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
The baby oil's open, I noticed, too.
And half, I can see most of it's gone. I guess they were... moist when they left.
She's pissed.
Yes.
I don't want to know.
She's finger.
Well, you remember the topic was anal sex. So.
Yes. They were talking about that amongst many other things.
So where does the 9-volt
come? 9-volt battery. Yeah, that's heavy
duty. You gotta lick it.
They were talking about that too.
Well, that does explain the cough drop.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
It looks like Falcon is here.
I'm here, yes.
And you're representing
everybody.
Everybody.
Well, have you noticed you got most of the board of HEC here?
Yes, I do.
So, yes. I'm Falcon, and I'm with a number of organizations. I'm the, excuse me, I have a cold.
Okay.
Imperial Prince Royal of Reign 23 for Oresis. I'm member of the Colts, member of the Bears, and I'm the treasurer for Houston Council of Clubs.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you do it all?
Just a lot of organizations, basically. You know, it gets hectic at times.
God.
Yeah, but make your priorities.
Yeah, I know.
And to my left, I have...
Huh?
We give you...
I've
on the 2002 calendar for... I think best chest calendar.
Oh, Lord, you remember
that. We give
that.
You Mr. January.
Yeah, I was right up front. Got it over with.
Luckily, they started selling them in March.
I just ran across that this past week.
Oh, I found mine the other day,
and
too.
And I thought,
yeah.
What do you know?
What's scary is the pages are stuck together, and it wasn't me. He loves himself that much.
Yes. Yeah. It's a nice little calendar.
Yeah, it was a...
Bulldog Productions.
Yeah. Yes. I still have their T-shirt, too. But, yeah, that was a blast from the past.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I'm also with Eresis, and I am still the chair of Houston Council of Clubs. And
Chair Dude.
Yeah.
Chair Dude.
There we go. And also with the Misfits.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just along for the ride here, so. Yeah, these other guys can tell you everything.
I know, and do you know that I guess I might be called an honorary misfit?
Well, you're pretty honorable.
Well, after Louie, I'm a misfit by injection.
We don't want to know.
Oh, Lordy, I don't want to know about that.
We don't want to know. So, if you want to come to the next Louie. speaking of, when is the next Louie? But you can go to louieweekend.com. But the next Louie will
be
February 7th, 8th, and 9th,
mm-hmm.
and 10th of 2008. So we're going to start promoting that now.
Cool.
Yeah, never too soon.
That's right, because isn't this a big one coming up?
This will be 35 this year.
Ooh,
yeah.
Wow.
And, of course, to my right is...
Ta-da!
Daddy of Montrose. My name is Robert Kahn. I'm also with Houston Area Bears.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the Triad, which is the board for the Bears. So I'm here to talk, number one, about the Daddy of Montrose contest that's coming up in June.
Yes.
And that will be on Father's Day every year.
Every year.
I'll be stepping down and we'll be electing a new Daddy of Montrose.
It's been...
What are you doing in that corner?
I've known Robert and Lloyd for, gosh, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And just the thought of you being Daddy of Montrose is just...
He was a baby.
He's speechless.
It's radio.
He's always been a little boy to me.
Well, this little boy is waiting on his third grandchild to be born.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
Jimmy, to you, amazing. Most people are going to be little children.
Shut up. Been down that road, yes. Yes, I know. Especially after Chris and I, last weekend. Yes.
Yeah, last week.
Last Friday, went to a little publicized event here in Houston. It was the
Homo Revolution Tour.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Queer
hip-hop. which the Bears were represented
at Club Dignity.
Yes.
We had several Bear members there.
They were sitting right next to us. Yes, because Big Nug was there.
Yes, he was.
Yes.
I believe he put an ad on every Bear and Chubb.
And he is a hottie in person. Wow.
Oh, that's what you thought when I showed you the topless pic of him.
Well, of course. But, I mean, really, in person, he was much better. Yeah. You missed it.
We missed it last weekend. Some of my co-members were telling me about it, and we're definitely wanting to try to get them back in town again.
Yes, and at a better venue, because there's probably not 30 people there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful club, actually, with a huge stage.
Was it just not promoted very well? Or?
Yeah, not in our community. It was in the
Twit covered it, and and the Dallas Voice, you know, we didn't have much the media.
What's a month?
Every week, but it's coming out of San Antonio, so it doesn't have a lot of Houston information.
That's why the pictures they have in this week's Twitter from when they performed at the Saint.
Yeah, I'd love to get them back. This was at a club that was on Scott Street, right at 45.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I think normally it's a lesbian bar.
It looks like it's an African-American lesbian bar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right.
So basically, you know, for hip-hop...
I don't get out there very often.
It's beautiful. It's a great club inside.
Yeah, BYOI, bring your own ice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it would be great for a Misfits ball.
Vanilla.
Hint?
Yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, like I said, for a hip-hop concert, you know, it was mainly a Caucasian crowd.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And, I mean... Jimmy's preference for chocolate just suddenly appeared.
It was, you know, there was African-Americans and Hispanics and two white guys. And a transgendered woman.
Yeah, the performers.
Yeah.
Right. The ensemble of people is a very diverse group of people.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's not just one particular.
No. Yeah, I teased Ray. He sent me an email asking how long I stayed. And I said, I stayed till the end. And you missed where two of the performers stripped to their underwear and danced.
Oh, my God.
And I hadn't heard a reply back from him on that one.
That was so hot.
Oh. Will you get out of that corner?
Okay, sir.
Here's the lotion.
He puts the lotion on his... and then he rubs it out again.
Why are you censoring yourself? You should have heard the show before you.
I know. And then the real kicker was Miss Money ended the show. Came in and did some kind of jazz, blues jazz numbers. Mm-hmm. God, is she good. I don't know if you know of Miss Money. She's a Houston talent.
I don't.
She's very, very good. Yeah.
No, anyway, I haven't been here for 20 years.
Here we are talking about everything under the sun except for
Daddy Montrose and Bear Watch.
Yes.
We're talking to Bear.
The other thing I'm here to talk about is Bear Watch, which is our fundraising event we have every year in May. It is the 18th, 19th, and 20th of May. We actually have it down in Galveston.
Oh.
We take over one of the hotels down there. This year we're doing it at Inn on the Water Park, which we've already sold the hotel out.
Wow.
So we're to our overflow hotels.
Wow.
Currently registration is $90.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for the whole weekend. We feed you Saturday lunch, dinner, breakfast, brunch on Sunday.
Cool.
Have a great time.
Yeah.
And our charity this year is Hatch. So we're raising money for Hatch.
That is amazing.
So.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. So often Hatch gets overlooked because now they're a part of Montrose Counseling Center, and people think, oh, well, they've got all the money in the world, but, you know, they don't.
No.
They don't have any money from Montrose Counseling Center, actually. And so it'll help them out. That's wonderful. Because I know they have the big scholarship fund that goes on there.
And one of the things that they've got coming up is they're about to put on their prom.
Mm-hmm. That's right. They were talking about it last week, as a matter of fact.
And this past week we gave them, throughout the year we raised money for them, in addition to our fundraiser in May. And at this point, we on Wednesday, we wrote them a check for just over $1,600 to help them with prom.
Wow. Wow. Very good.
So, they're
so you guys just don't, you know, the Bears aren't just a bunch of guys that go around and party a lot.
I mean,
you're doing stuff. You're raising money.
Our main focus is a social outlet.
Sure.
It's a social organization, but we are conscious of the needs of the community. We do have a portion of our organization that is focused on fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
Each year we pick one 501c3 charity that we focus on, mm-hmm, for fundraising. It's not our primary focus.
Gotcha.
But like I said, we are socially conscious,
yeah,
of the needs of our community.
Very good. How do I find out more about the Bears?
Well, if you want to find out about the Bears, you can go to our website, mm-hmm, at HoustonAreaBears.com.
HoustonAreaBears.com.
Correct.
.com. Okay.
And if you want to, you can either go from there to our BearWatch website, or, mm-hmm, you can go directly to the BearWatch website at BearWatch.net.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get information about the weekend from there.
Great.
You can also sign up on that website. It's a very robust website. We've got games and videos and commercials and all kinds of fun stuff. And by the way,
I love that.
I think the
Bear website is very robust.
It is. We're in the trailer park. Our theme this year for Bear Watch, mm-hmm, is a white trash weekend.
Ah, perfect.
So,
why did everybody just look at me?
So, also, as Daddy of Montrose, you'll be stepping down.
I'll be stepping down in June, correct.
And have you been doing fundraisers?
I've been doing fundraisers all year long.
Mm-hmm.
My first fundraiser, this is to tell you how diverse I focus on the community. My first fundraiser was for Spry. Which
I'll be joining in about 9 months.
Which is seniors preparing for the Rainbow Years.
Yes.
And is also a legacy branch.
Mm-hmm.
So it
actually, it's Legacy and Montrose Counseling Center working together,
correct,
on this.
Correct. I've done fundraiser for them. I'm doing a year-long fundraiser for Hatch.
Mm-hmm.
I've done various other fundraisers throughout the year for other organizations throughout the community.
Yeah.
So,
I know, since I already said that I've known you and Lloyd for over 20 years,
mm-hmm,
and for over 20 years, both of you have been involved in the community in one way or another.
In one way or the other,
helping,
it's,
you know, raising money for this, doing that, and then you'll work hard for a couple of years and then run off for 6 months and, you know, like, discover each other again and then hop right back into, mm-hmm, it.
Whether it's working with Gay Fathers,
yeah,
the Pride Parade,
right,
the Bears, ICOH, there have been organizations throughout the entire time we've known you that,
yes,
we've ran across each other.
I know.
Year and year and year and year.
It's
so,
been amazing.
Wait a second, there's
it.
Gay Fathers?
Yeah.
There's Gay Fathers.
Oh
yeah.
Nobody told me about that.
Well, you'll be hearing more about that a little later.
Be interesting.
That now too.
Huh?
There's gay and lesbian parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, if my son was joined me with that, that'd be a hoot.
So, Falcon?
Yes, sir. What'd I do now?
You want to talk about the Reese's or...
Well, actually, we got a new guest.
Oh, we do? Oh, my God.
He's testing samples.
Of lotion.
Yes.
Of lotion.
Now we have,
yes,
the program chair from Louie.
See, he's not wearing his kilt, so I'm ignoring him.
See, well, you know, I only wear the kilt for special occasions.
Yeah, so this is
obviously
not one of them.
When Stanley's out of town.
So,
can you introduce yourself and tell us why you're here, sir?
Hi, I'm Steven. I'm a communaholic as well.
Yes,
hi, Steven.
Yes. Mr. Steven Bunch.
Where's the coffee? And I got my own cigarettes.
Okay.
And I'd just like to say, first of all, Jimmy, it's very good to be back at KPFT Radio that listens to you, 90.1 on your FM dial.
You know, if you know where that microphone's been, you wouldn't sit so close to it.
Yeah. There's a discussion about
my name is Steven. I'm with the Colt 45s.
Yes, yes.
And we just came from a nice little fundraiser over to Ripcord. If you mentioned that already.
No, we haven't.
Mr. Prime Beef, Prime Choice.
Prime Beef, I'm hoping.
You didn't announce the winner already?
We do not even know the winner.
You don't know the winner?
No.
Well, the winner is me. No, it's not.
You should have seen the video.
There were three candidates,
Gregory,
right?
Masakian,
Billy Bob Spears. Yeah. And Renee Cantu.
And they raised, between the three of them, almost $11,000.
Oh, my goodness.
Throughout the night. And the winner was, by one point.
Really?
Gregory Masakian.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yay!
Wow.
So it was a good contest.
Yeah.
It was emceed by Ken Claude and Jim Sorgini.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved the numbers, but it was a good thing.
Both of them at different times have been hosts on the leather segment on this program. Yes.
Wow, the leather segment. That dates you. I'm sorry. Did I say that?
We've had the leather segment for 12 years now.
Anything else going on with the Colts?
Anything else going on with the Colts? That was the question.
Yeah. What's going on with the Colts?
Yes. Well, it's three from the top. Our amount is, let's make the Colts. No. what's going on with the Colts? Well, we have our general membership meeting on Monday. It's been moved to the third Monday of the month.
Yeah,
for those of you scoring at home or even if you're alone. As well as...
Okay, and where is it now?
It's at the BRB.
BRB.
Otherwise known as the Big Round Bottom.
Yeah, the Burb. And so
it's
Monday...
It's 8 o'clock, the third Monday of every month.
Okay.
Upstairs. You can't find us.
Yeah.
We're an upstairs kind of group.
Yeah.
As well as we've got June approaching, and we have our anniversary, and...
stuff going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't cool. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay. And you'll be listening to this show, of course, tomorrow morning.
Maybe.
When you wake up.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. As you do. You've been listening to this show for years.
Yes, I listen to Dead Air once in a while when the Colts don't show up. But being vice president, you know, I'm sure we'll work something out, Jimmy.
Okay. Not a problem. Not a problem.
And then there's one more thing the Colts are doing. We're serving lunch for PWA.
Oh, yes.
Camp out.
Oh, yes. On Mother's Day weekend.
Yeah.
Damn it.
It'll be May 12th. We'll be up at the campsite, and we'll be serving lunch there. And if you want to sponsor a camper, you can definitely send a message to Steven through the Colts website, which is... Go, Steven.
www.colt45s.org. Or you can...
45S.
45S.
Okay.
Or you can also send an email to Tex...
Forever. Oh, don't look at us.
Text forever, the number forever, yes, at hotmail.com. That is John Shefchek. Mm-hmm. Or you can go to the PWA website, and you can talk to him about sponsoring camper. It's only
$25.
Yeah,
and it's a very good cause. Or even if you want to donate money for, you know, the good thing about the campsite is you can, if you have a plan, you can sponsor just about anything there. If you want to sponsor firewood, which they do not need in the summer.
no, we don't.
You can attest to that. But would they need firewood? No.
No. But
you know, food? Drink,
yeah.
What?
Soft
drinks. You can always use a little extra wood, but for fires, no.
Soft drinks, bottled water, you know, any of these things. Because I went to it last fall, my first time, and I'm hooked.
Are you?
And now I am just desperate because I haven't missed a Mother of Montrose contest in several years now, and I can't do both.
Well, you can go up on Saturday with us.
I was just,
you know, we could.
Or you can come back early on Sunday.
Yeah, come back early on Sunday.
Usually the Mother's contest isn't until like 5.
Really? Yeah. I'll be sunburned in places I don't usually.
We saw those places.
We can still get lotion there. We have volunteers.
Don't make me use the 8-second delay.
We actually have an 8-second delay now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. If somebody says...
Oh, let's test that.
Oh, now you have an 8-second delay.
now we're going to have fun.
Yeah. And if I say my 10-second spiel, when Falcon and myself, our first opportunity to go up and help out with the lunch, it was really great. And when we say you sponsor campers, and I know the cults have and other groups have, you know, they'll sponsor campers. They would have the secret sponsorship to their run. They know a few people that were PWAs that maybe couldn't afford the price of a run, and they'll sponsor people from here, you know, here or there. But when we went up and there was the two of us, and we had, what, about 250, 300 quarter-pound hot dogs?
Yeah.
It was incredible.
But there were so many people that you say, well, you sponsor them, and maybe somebody's paying their way, but they do not get a free ride. There's the pride in just about any community of organization or event that you do. People aren't asking for a free ride. They're asking for help or assistance.
That's
and there's
right.
two different things I've learned that. There are people that will be up there and bust their keisters. I can say keister, right?
You can say ass if you want to.
Oh, really? Well, then kiss my keister.
bring it on over.
Bring it on over. That's another song, don't
yeah.
But it's funny. We were just doing our thing and cooking, and I just merely went over to rinse a pot out that chili wouldn't stick, and somebody said, "Oh, you don't have to wash dishes. That's my job." And it's like,
"Oh yeah,
you know there."
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot of ownership when you
That's
sponsor
right.
somebody at these events.
Wait
they
a
don't
second.
Just kick back in and just you know enjoy the weekend. They enjoy it, but they're there to hold their own and have fun. And I think
absolutely.
That's what's really neat about that, Lance.
They didn't say that to me after I was done with the dishes.
Well,
a lot of guys who can't afford it trade out with time to do stuff there.
Yeah.
You know, make breakfast or whatever it is that's needed,
and they're
you know there's a lot of pride in being able to pay your way either
yeah.
through money
well,
or through their efforts.
And there's earning. And there's people
yes.
that go up there and have fun, and people work. It's an activity time.
Oh, and John,
and we're not supposed to use that four letter W word.
John, that's in fact, and he's working the whole weekend.
Yeah,
you know,
always
poor
does,
guy.
Yeah.
He hardly gets a chance to enjoy it. But boy, did I have a good time. I'm a city boy.
Well, and
you know, I get nervous when I can't see concrete. But I had a great time. And I
realized
can't
that was
wait
the
to
the
go
the first
back.
Time you were there?
Yeah.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah.
And you know, it gives these guys a chance to get together. They're all sharing the same
you know
situation.
What? It was a weekend where I didn't feel freaky.
Exactly.
And as we were driving into the landslide.
And, you know, with or without the disease, you're freaky.
I think we can both agree. Driving into the land site, we've seen a side of several people we've never seen before.
And
yeah,
you probably didn't want to.
The very first time we pulled in, I'm like going, "Oh, I did not want to see that," and drove a little bit further, but I didn't want to see that either.
Yep.
We're gonna have to say names, but it was the person who close.
That's right.
That was just one.
Yeah,
but no,
well,
it's my
well you know, when some of the guys saw Terry, they did throw on shorts, but, you know, hey.
That was the second time. That was in September.
Uh-huh. But,
you know, they were very supportive. Terry, one of the cult members, who bakes like it's going out of style.
Oh, man.
She sequestered herself to around the kitchen area, but she had baked, about 6 or 8 dozen
cookies the
day or day and a half before.
Was that what Shameless went up to?
Those guys went after them like they were
home. When they found out that they were homemade cookies, just went nuts. And, and there was everybody that was supportive, and where you think that, well, there's uncomfort. There may be an uncomfort factor with men and women, but in that one little area, you know, when I say area, because she was very supportive of being in a male area, but there was not a single person that was not appreciative of what the cult as a group did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's very nice.
It was an amazing lunch.
And hopefully this next one will be just
good.
Amazing.
Good.
So.
Good. Thank you to the cults for your efforts. See, it's not that your organization just helps monetarily. You're out there doing things for other people. You're giving your time and your energy, too.
And outside of this, we also, of course, have our AIDS Trouble Fund.
Yes.
That if people are having trouble making their rent or utilities, we do provide assistance for people who are disabled with AIDS.
Yeah.
So they can contact us at www.col. COLT45S at .org. I think I got that right.
Yes, COLT45S.
COLT45S.
COLTS 45S.
And the application that is right on the website for assistance.
Yes.
And they can send it right into us, and we will review it as soon as we can and get you some money.
Good. What's the Reese's up to?
What is Reese's up to? Well, today is my birthday.
Happy birthday, and it's tax day.
Today is my birthday.
Yeah. Cut it in half, count of rings.
Awesome. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm doing a birthday show.
Sunday the 15th.
Sunday the 15th
yes,
is my birthday, yes. And, you know, luckily this year it's not tax day. Tax day is like the 16th or 17th.
Yeah.
I don't figure which one.
So you get away with it this
time. I get away with it this time. So I decided to actually plan a birthday show because it's the first year people are not committing suicide on my birthday, or I don't have to throw the party at the post office. So I thought, okay, I'm going to have a freebie this time. So
see, actually, it is kind of appropriate because you are quite taxing on that level.
Turn your mic off. Anyways, so I'm throwing kind of a tax baby's birthday show. Mm-hmm. It's going to be at George's tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
Starts at 6 p.m. is the party. Show is followed at 8 p.m. It's all for Reese's. George has agreed to give a free shot to anybody who makes a $10 donation.
Wow.
So,
wow.
What I'm going to do is just have some raffle tickets. So if you come up to me and just buy a raffle ticket for 10 bucks and...
A raffle ticket for 10 bucks? What the hell are you raffling?
Well,
that'll get you your drink.
That'll get you your drink.
Oh!
Your shot.
Oh.
And, also, you know, we'll have 50-50 and stuff, so that'll also help you go towards your 50-50.
Okay, gotcha.
But that's one of us, the one of our shows.
Will there be birthday spankings? Will there be birthday spankings?
I wish I could.
Can you make a donation for those birthday spankings?
What do you mean you wish you could?
I have a bad piriformis muscle, and I'm not making it up because my husband knows, and he's right behind me. So I do have a bad piriformis muscle.
And what did he do to you to...
It wasn't the position. It was the dismount.
Bring that's what the fish is for.
We have the wooden fish here.
Yeah.
Yes.
But unfortunately, I did
never been paddled by a fish.
It's a fish paddle, but it's made to scale.
Actually, I paddled a fish. I've never been paddled by a fish.
I see. Okay.
Sorry. But no, I had a bad slip and fall accident.
Oh.
Gosh, about 10 years ago. So never got over that sciatic nerve problem.
There's a couple other things there.
I got that right here.
Oh, okay.
On my calendar.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I do so much better with this thing. Then coming up on the 21st, Lillian Devereaux is throwing the Don't Rub Me the Wrong Way show.
No, I wouldn't want to do that to her.
At Tony's, it will be at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
On the 22nd, we have Morgan Fairview, who is our countess. She's doing a bake sale. Her show is called Ain't That Special, and it's the Church Ladies Bake Sale and Show.
And I got a little note in my box because I announced that last week, and there was a comment made that I don't even know who she is, and turns out I do.
Yeah? Uh-huh.
Turns out I do. Yes.
You do.
Skip left a note in my box.
I mentioned it to her. I mentioned that to her.
Oh, thank you.
He said, oh, yes, he does.
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. That, he's...
Surprised, aren't you?
Yes. I've known him off and on for years now, and he's... He recreates himself every time I see him. You know, it's just
well, he does really great Shirley Bassey.
And he gets up there and it looks like he's been doing drag for 20 years. It's amazing.
And it's funny, just from the time he's first joined the Reese's to now, he has come a long ways. I mean, he's perfecting his craft now. He really is nailing it. I mean, the first
give that
few times,
boy a ruffled coat and
oh yeah, first few times he was nervous, very nervous.
Lots of
so.
Chiffon, lots of net, and you know he's there.
Yep.
So
but that show is
so
starts at 7 p.m. at George's
with a bake sale, huh?
A bake sale.
Oh,
yep.
I like bake sales. I do.
Yeah, we're getting some.
Ask Helen Highwater. She. Her last show, she had baked goods.
Baking. Oh, everybody else going to be making
you took
special
a cake
brownies.
Home, too.
Yes, I did. I sure did. Oh, and it was good. It was very good.
Okay. Let me see here. And then coming up on the 27th.
Wait a minute. That bake sale is when again?
7 p.m. on the 22nd at George's.
Okay.
Coming up on the 27th, we have Cheyenne and Chris, who is our Emperor and Empress, 23. They are doing the, let me see if I can remember it right, I believe it's called...
Something an evening with the Emperor and Empress,
A Night with the Oldies.
They did not pick that title, did they?
It's an evening with the Emperor and Empress, A Night with the Oldies. And I don't think they're referring to themselves.
I see.
That's going to be at the BRB at 9 p.m. And I'm sure I'm going to be getting a phone call right about now.
last week.
And then,
yes, they do listen.
They do listen. You know, Chris especially, you know, he stays up and listens to it. Cheyenne, get out of the bar.
It's last call, honey.
It's last call. Listen to the show. Coming up, I'm going to kind of push us up to our next meeting here at KPFT.
Yes.
May 4th, I have a show. I have another show. Yes. It's called Anything Goes. And it's going to be at Tony's Corner Pocket at 8 p.m. The premise of this show is that you can do whatever you want.
It's a perfect show for Tony's.
It is a perfect show for Tony's.
Yeah.
And I don't care if you get up there and do comedy, sock puppet, strip, drag. I don't want to do drag, sing live. What I'm trying to do is
different
do
types
something
of
different.
Entertainment.
Show us your talent.
Yeah.
You know, if you always wanted to do something, get up there and do it.
Yeah.
I'm robot.
I am constantly amazed at the live talent that we have in Houston. Just guys and women that I have known for years get up there, and all of a sudden they've got a singing voice.
Yeah, that kind of.
And that includes you.
One person who shocked me was Craig Farrell.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
And when he does a duet with Sarah, man.
And Michelle Anders, so it's really a quartet.
Yeah. that's hot.
Now, they did it tonight
at the Ripcord.
At the Ripcord.
Yeah. After they completed a successful show at EJ's.
Oh, really?
It was their tax show.
What, $700 or $800 in change?
Yeah. They had passed, back in February, they passed out little cow banks to all the members.
Oh, okay.
And asked them, just throw your change in and bring it to this show. And it was like over $700.
Oh, I do that on my car.
It's incredible.
I throw my change in the top glove compartment of my car, and I walk in and I end up like with $100 out of it.
Yeah,
so.
So,
but
where were we?
Other things coming up. Okay, May 5th, which is Cinco de Mayo. We are doing a show.
You bet this is not Jack's show. I mean, you know, we're just kind of freeform here.
Huh. Oh, sorry.
There's a Jacking show?
No, Jack. Jack.
Jack
Belinsky.
If you can hear the sound of Jack's voice.
Yeah.
Okay, he did hit the button, so that was good. Boom, 8 seconds.
No, Jack has to pack a whole lot of stuff into a short amount of time.
Right. So I have a friend like that.
So, you know, it's like 60 minutes.
No air.
It's very professional.
Yeah.
But you don't get to
I might want to do a show.
Oh, yeah.
But coming up on May 5th, we have a show down in Galveston at the Undercurrent. It's called South of the Border. That is being hosted by our Count and Countesses, which is Matt, Yorkie, and Morgan. And that will start at about 9 p.m. And then I think, we have a birthday show coming up on May 11th. Craven's Sock Hop. Craven is our
Viscount.
Yep. Viscount is Craven Moorhead.
Now, I wanted to ask, because it used to be Craven Moorhead Nightly.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened to the Nightly part?
She got divorced.
Yeah.
That's a mild drag.
She's craving Nightly and Daily.
That must be it.
I think she changed it for a while to Craven. Was it Craven Good Moorhead Lately Nightly or something like that? I don't know.
Craven. Her show is coming up. It's her birthday show. It's called The Sock Hop. It's going to be at the BRB at 9 p.m. on May 11th.
Cool.
And if you want to see something really scary, if you guys want to take a drive, we're going to do State Turnabout in San Antonio.
Woo!
So you get to see all the guys end up as girls and all the girls end up as guys. But, you know, it's going to be, you know, it's not that often you get to see Chris Beck in drag, so.
Boy, I'll bet.
We get to see
that. Take pictures, lots of pictures.
We'll take lots of pictures.
They could be worth a lot of money later on.
And then finally we have... Barbara Walker and Shelby St. John doing the Mother's Day show on May 13th.
Mm-hmm.
And that show is called Songs Your Mother Never Sang to You.
Well, that sounds good.
It's going to be a good show because you know what kind of songs we're going to be doing that night.
Oh, yeah.
Shelby and Barbara are the queen mothers.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara is Cheyenne's queen mother, and Shelby is Chris's queen mother.
Okay.
So they're doing the Mother's Day show. And
I gave her Shelby. I remember Shelby doing a lot of shows at the BRB for another organization. And I remember one time I found a dress, a gown, and I just bought it and gave it to her. And she was so shocked that anybody would do that. But, you know, drag queens have to spend a hell of a lot of money.
It ain't
cheap.
You know, on wigs and gowns and makeup and jewelry and all of that stuff that, you know,
I wish I was a cheap drag queen.
But you're not a drag queen.
No, seriously, when I do drag...
No, he's not cheap.
No, seriously, when I do drag, it's always a whole new outfit.
Know. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's very rare I do the same character twice, so, you know. But, yeah, I mean, what we did with the Playboy show, which was... I'm not being demanded to do it again.
Pardon me.
And that might be for the state turnabout show. So if anybody was at the Colt 45's Playboy Bunny Reject show, you'll know the costume that I'm referring to. And they are rather pendulous, aren't they?
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
But that's basically it for Reese's.
Okay.
And we'll fill you in on May 13th,
mm-hmm.
which is a Sunday, which is our next time we are on the air with KPFT.
Ah.
At 1 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, May 13th.
However, you are officially on the air, but... we go by Saturdays, so it will be the first Saturday of the month.
You will be here.
Second Saturday?
Second Saturday. Closest first Saturday.
Okay.
Well, he's here
All
too.
All I know is it's an hour before.
You're wearing too many hats. I'm all confused.
It's an hour before last call, and that's all you have to know.
That's all you have to know.
That's what you really need to know, yeah.
Yeah. So, the guy behind you, Chair Dude, does he have anything
chair
more
dude.
To say?
No.
Chair
no?
Dude.
Well, we have a meeting coming
Four
up.
More years. Four more years. This political commercial has been paid for by the
Chair Dude. Yeah, you're the one that's been very quiet.
I'm the has-been here.
Oh, come on. I saw Abby Normal just very recently.
Oh. Yeah.
And that was...
Scary.
And she was
an incredible
scary,
outfit
scary.
That you had on.
Thank you. I'm her fashion designer.
Well, I came up with my new drag name for State Turnabout, so it should be interesting.
Oh.
It's going to be MaxiPad.
Oh. Okay.
So get ready, Arisa. MaxiPad's coming out.
Chris, I think it's time for music.
Yes, please.
Honey.
I gotta wake the CD player up while
okay.
sleeping.
Went to
well,
sleep.
While he's waking the CD player
yes.
up, I wanna add one more thing
please
that the Bears
do,
is doing. On the 21st of this month, we're
mm-hmm.
having our monthly social.
No, this is the Bears.
This is the Bears.
Okay.
We always have it at Mary's. We're adding to it this year.
The HAB social.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're adding to it. We are doing a crawfish boil.
Ooh.
From about 5 in the afternoon till midnight. So. Come out.
Till midnight, like there's going to be crawfish left that late.
Well, we're ordering 200 pounds of crawfish.
Woo!
So,
whoa.
$5 a plate
yes.
plus drink specials.
Great.
So, everybody,
great.
Encourage them to come out and join
us. What's the date again?
It's on the 21st. It's
21st.
Next Saturday.
Next Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
From 5 until
midnight.
Dinner. Gotcha.
Early dinner or late dinner or both.
Well, if Stanley's in town, it's regular dinner.
So, okay. I just wanted to add that
cool.
one.
Thank you. That's information that we can use.
Mm-hmm.
Not the tourists.
Food. What, pinching tail and sucking head?
Yeah, you got it.
Uh-huh.
Like, that doesn't go on in the backyard of Mary's.
And we won't.
Naturally.
Naturally.
That's another Southern decadence story that I won't go into.
Okay.
And he said, I will not do crawfish. And I said, and you won't put crawfish in your mouth, but anyway.
Yeah, but you'll food.
Well, thanks for having us, Jimmy.
You bet.
Thank you, Chris.
It's been fun. I love it when you guys come and represent different organizations, and you know, we really get the word out there. Cool. Chris, take us away.
You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston. Always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
But I got a smile on my face. I just did your boyfriend.
Can't seem to get enough.
I just did your boyfriend.
Can't seem to get enough.
I just did your boyfriend. Cause we were out in the country.
spreading our wings wild and free. Learning about life from Mother Nature, doing what comes naturally. A little later on, 16, by now, slowly becoming men. Me and Bobby Wayne hunting in the woods, he looks at me and grins. He walks right over, grabs me by the arm, touches my face and says, come over here, let's do what grown men do. I've been doing it ever since, 'cause we were out in the country, spreading our wings wild and free, learning about nature, doing what comes naturally. Years have come and gone, just me and Bobby Wayne played around in the woods. I moved to the city, I found me a man. Bobby Wayne, you taught me good, 'cause we were out in the country, spreading our wings wild and free, learning about life from Mother Nature, doing what comes naturally. Out in the country, spreading our wings wild and free, learning about life from Mother Nature, doing what comes naturally. Out in the country, spreading our wings wild and free, learning about life from Mother Nature, doing what
be found. I'm feeling weary, God, show me a sign. I wanna know I'm homeward bound. Oh,
Jeff Krasner, How Long Do I Have to Be Strong? Before that was Doug Stevens and the Outband with Out in the Country. And, of course, before that was the Bootlickers, I Just Did Your Boyfriend, here on After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. And what we're going to do is we're going to do our regularly scheduled segment, did like she usually does, and she's not here, so we are going into Gigi's segment. Your mic is on.
Okay. Well, we've got David with us.
Hi, and Bobby is going to come in later, I think, too.
Yeah. And tonight we're going to do a show on magic. And we've got someone that wants to read a little something.
Yeah, but before we get started on the magic part, I want to read an article that I wrote that will probably be in the Houston Press in the next couple of editions. And I've had these ideas rolling around in my head for quite a while, and I finally was stimulated by a conversation and an art opening that the collective that I'm in, the Zeitgeist Collective, we had an opening last night, and it was just really stimulating, and I went home and thinking, well, I'll write the beginning of it, and I wrote it, so I decided to read it tonight. It's called The Problem of Homosexuality. So I'm just going to read it. One of the most persistent folk superstitions that stubbornly parades itself as self-evident and therefore obvious wisdom is that being, as a condition of existence, homosexual is, in and of itself, inescapably a problem. Well into my 50s, it occurred to me to examine my own past to see if there was any personal truth in this common assumption. This was after over 35 years of living as an openly homosexual man, more or less comfortably in society at large, with as many and sometimes more heterosexual, often with children, friends as homosexual ones. What I discovered was that the only problems I had that directly had to do with just the fact of being homosexual were a result of other humans who have a problem with and therefore make a problem of that. Whatever psychological complexes that were attendant to realizing that that component was a permanent part of my overall makeup have shown themselves to be comprised of specific internalized social conditionings, which can, as habitual mental patterns, be successfully broken down and purged through thorough and continued processing. I'm also lucky to have very normal, loving, yet normally imperfect parents who have a genuine lifelong love life with each other, and who have been willing to accept me as I am, to grow along with me and the rest of the immediate family in learning how to live life, rather than adhering to what seemed to be set in stone. Whatever inherent problems I have had to come to terms with in life are very commonplace, universal, having to do with the human condition as it stands today. Human relationships, regardless of sexuality, race, or culture, seem to pretty equally across the board present challenges that the individuals involved in various ongoing degrees succeed or fail to meet, surmount, and achieve functioning communication and mutual loving kindness. Every social category based in some defined commonality, whether brought together by affinity, geography, or force, has a set of dysfunctions that are problematic, just as individuals do. These imperfections are often the line items used to rationalize the self-righteousness in the myriad isms and phobias that solidify the division between us and them. There is no group that would not benefit from seeing its own dysfunctions, attending to and understanding them, as well as seeing the dysfunctions of other group with the alternative perspective distance may offer, leaving things open enough for exchange to increase the scope of information and share solutions which may or may not work in each unique situation. With a broader overview, it becomes apparent that the more people who have a better life, the better life is for everyone, which inspires the possibility, neither proved nor disproved at this point, that everyone can have a better life. This possibility creates idealists, passionately dedicated to implementing their sometimes contradictory views, visions. Every idealist of whatever political, spiritual, or social stripe has at least one blind spot. A great many problems stem from enforced versions of realities existing within illusions of unassailability in which everything that does not sustain it is experienced as an intrusion. Each one with its own perfection that would exist if only were not for some this or that. Each with its set of transgressive disruptions which it believes the world would be best without. I wonder, with all the conceptions held as to what the world would be best without, if there would be anyone left alive if each of us were granted the elimination of our own exception to a perfect world. So much energy is wasted deciding who is right and wrong, who's to blame for both and each, which could be used to open heart and mind so that each thing can be its own clear revelation, can clearly be what it is in such a way that its message needs no interpretive decision. What I would prefer to do with the energy I use deciding what I don't like and don't want real is to make mind space to accommodate everything that comes to play in life, to develop a mind with enough room that nothing need give up its place for anything else. I suspect there are no limits to how vast and open a mind can be, or what can be known in such a mind, where all fears are seen and known with a liberating accuracy that carries through, taking everything into account in practical, interconnecting, ongoing solutions. Each moment can come together with all we need for the next step if we look beyond ourselves and our ideas of ourselves. This brings me back to the subject of homosexuality as a problem. If you're one of those people who claims to aspire to create a functional, enlightened society of some form, and you still cling to, harbor, and refuse to process your fears about and around homosexuals and homosexuality, especially if you are a practicing homophobe, you are not what you claim to be. You are still a slave to the over 2,000 years of disinformation, forged documents, and flat-out lies used to back up the enforcement of control systems that has successfully brainwashed, especially the Western world, on this and many other subjects. It seems a sad waste that there are so many good people who have seen through and freed themselves from so much conditioning and manipulation in order to see with so much more clarity many political, cultural, and spiritual realities, yet still insist on falling victim to the nonsense of this particular potent, deeply rooted taboo that conjures up so much fear, hatred, and pain on both sides of the controversy. So there you have it. Those are my little rants about how homosexuality is not a problem. People get over it.
Mm-hmm. And we're heading to music. God is alive, magic is a foot. God is alive, magic is a foot. God is a foot, magic is alive, life is a foot. Magic never died, God never sickened. Many poor men lied, many sick men lied. Magic never weakened, magic never hid. Magic always ruled. God is afoot. God never died. God was ruler, though his funeral lengthened.
though his mourners thickened, magic never fled. Though his shrouds were hoisted, the naked god did live. Though his words were twisted, the naked magic thrived. Though his death was published round and round the world, the heart did not believe. Many hurt men wandered, many struck men bled. Magic never faltered, magic always led. Many stones were rolled, but God would not lie down. Many wild men lied, many fat men listened. Though they offered stones, magic still was fed. Though they locked their coffers, God was always served. Magic is afoot, God rules. Alive is afoot, alive is in command. Many weak men hungered, many strong men thrived. Though they boasted solitude, God was at their side. Nor the dreamer in his cell, nor the captain on the hill. Magic is alive. Though his death was pardoned, round and round the world, the heart would not believe. Though laws were carved in marble, they could not shelter men. Though altars built in parliaments, they could not order men. Police arrested magic, and magic went with them. For magic loves the hungry. But magic would not tarry. It moves from arm to arm. It would not stay with them. Magic is afoot. It cannot come to harm. It rests in an empty palm. It spawns in an empty mind. But magic is no instrument. Magic is the end. Magic, but magic stayed behind. Many strong men lied. They only passed through magic and out the other side. Many weak men lied. They came to God in secret, and though they left him nourished, they would not tell who healed. Though mountains danced before them, they said that God was dead. Though his shrouds were hoisted, the naked God did live. This I mean to whisper to my mind. This I mean to laugh within my mind. This I mean my mind to serve till service is but magic. Moving through the world, and mind itself is magic. Coursing through the flesh, and flesh itself is magic. Dancing on a clock, and time itself, the magic length of God.
And so, what is magic? I mean, we have so many different ways of viewing the world and seeing what's before us. And, you know, being in the pagan realm and studying sacred sex and spiritual sexuality, what is magic?
I thought one of the most accurate, to my mind, truthful sounding things I ever heard was that magic was science that has not been explained. I mean, science has this idea that everything has to be identified, everything has to be quantified, everything has to be repeatable in order to be a fact. And I don't, and I've never seen that as absolutely true. Mm-hmm. I don't think you have to see air to know that it's there, and no two breezes are exactly alike. No two breezes touch you exactly alike.
Mm-hmm.
No two waves are absolutely identical.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's physical evidence of their existence, you know?
Yeah.
I think magic is, to me, when I was a little kid, magic to me was the force. You know, magic was that thing that ran everything. That energy that, you know, made you breathe and think,
right,
and do.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah,
and everything.
It is very,
you know,
it is as, that kind of childlike wonder.
As
an appreciation.
Yeah. As ethereal as a breeze and as solid as the table we're all sitting at, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, all in the same breath.
I mean, because, like, to me, there's, like, the magic that has all the wonderful special effects.
Mm-hmm.
That if you hang out with the right, well, not, you hang out with certain people, say, mm-hmm, I don't want to say right or wrong people, but if you hang out with certain people. You see more special effects.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they can be quite vivid and, mm-hmm, sort of to the point where people won't actually believe you if you tell them what you witnessed with other people who witnessed the same thing. But then there's also magic. The first thing that popped in my head when you asked the question was, like, driving across town and all the lights are green. You know, that's a bit of everyday Houston magic anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
It's like getting to a corner and going, and the light goes just when you're getting ready to turn the corner.
There you go.
Yeah, that's like, yeah.
Well, one of the things that, you know, in my undergrad, I was a philosophy major, so,
mm-hmm,
I kind of studied a lot, and one of the books I really got a lot out of was Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful. Classic.
It's a classic.
Absolutely.
And when you kind of dig deep into that book, you start learning that all about Aristotle's fork and where science came from and the split,
yeah,
of, mm-hmm, what exists and what doesn't exist. And to me, magic rides on that other side of the fork.
Well,
one of the things that I think was the big disaster from Aristotle was that we kind of closed the door on that side of our experience. Mm. And we never developed a language for magic or for the non-material, the spiritual,
the things that
science can't measure and quantify and qualify.
Yeah.
And then we also created illusions,
mm-hmm,
or science has.
Well, absolutely.
I mean, just, we've talked about it on the show many times, the illusion of gender,
mm-hmm,
that there's male and female.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you stop and think about it for a moment, gender really is a spectrum, not just with me being a hermaphrodite, but with all people.
Mm-hmm.
We've all got a mixture of both male and female,
mm-hmm,
to varying degrees.
Yeah.
And so when you take a look at gender from that perspective, all of a sudden there is no same sex or opposite sex.
I mean, look how easy it is for people to be, look how easy, in just in terms of fashion, how easy it is for people to be androgynous.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I mean, there really are a lot of times when you have to sort of go, boy or girl, and it really could be either, and, mm-hmm, and it often does turn out to be either, even if you're very, very good at reading who's what sex. I mean, mm-hmm, you can still be, you know, nicely confused. It's just an attractive person.
But I bring that up because sometimes categories can, when you build a wall, sometimes you're not just walling something out, but walling something in.
Yes.
And you take a look at life and
the way we define things in nice, neat little boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And yet life doesn't really happen in all these nice little categories. And that, to me, is part of where magic comes in.
Well, that's right. People, there are people who want to categorize the word magic in terms of black and white.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I tend to think of it more in shades of gray. I mean, depending on what are you attempting to affect? What are you attempting to change? What are you attempting to move forward? I don't think it's as simple. I mean, you know, Wiccans think in terms of and it harm none.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we also think in terms of lest in self-defense it be. So, which is, you know, giving us sort of that option. If somebody, if we feel like something is causing harm, that then it becomes fair game to turn it back on themselves, you know?
The whole concept of harm is kind of a black and white concept.
Well, yeah, yes and no.
Or.
I mean, in since I'm a Buddhist, you know, the sort of Buddhism pretty much says that it's all illusion. So that whatever is happening at any moment is the magic energy of the mind's play. I mean, everything that's happened is a magical manifestation, but it's not solid and real in the way we think of scientifically. Old time science is thought of solid and real. Just a little bit further. And so the whole idea that there's anything to defend is part of the illusion. If everything is the play of the mind and isn't solid, and there is no, I mean, there's no ego to destroy. It just never existed. That's a play, the game your mind plays with yourself. So, in essence, there isn't anything to really defend. But there is the aspect of sort of playing skillfully with the different energies that are sharp or soft, you know, destructive, constructive. So it's how do you play with the energies to make the whole situation wake up.
Yeah. I had an art class professor once who said all art is both an act of creation and destruction. When you paint a painting, you're destroying the white space of the canvas. Act of creation.
And the white space sometimes is known as the negative space.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not negative in the sense of it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just the contrast.
Of course, art also. There are some artists who say that art is a series of corrections.
Yeah.
You know, a series of. You know, until you get to where it is you think it's
well, that's
you.
That's
you know,
skillful play.
Skillful, you know, and it's like a series of corrections. It's like, okay, that's not right. Let's do this here, you know. And to some extent, I think a lot of people who believe in performing magic are, you know, often look at life that way. It's okay, this is not how this is supposed to be. Let's try to do something about that. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
it doesn't feel right.
Yeah, this doesn't feel right. So how do we make things?
It's not connecting.
It's not connecting right. And I certainly understand that feeling. It's been feeling like that a lot lately. And yet, you know, a few years ago, everybody was all excited about the new millennium and all of that, and that whole spiritual awakening thing. And certainly, on both a local or national level, it's global level. You know, it seems like the world is screaming out for magic, you know, because you sort of look at things and it's, and you want, and you just feel, if you're a person of a, you know, who follows a magical path, you just feel like you constantly have to work on something to make it change.
Well, I think
you know,
to make
people see a different direction.
Absolutely.
You know, and open their eyes to, you know, this hasn't worked. Can we move some other way, folks?
But I think that one of the a positive thing lately is that I think finally people are hearing the screams.
Yeah, yeah.
They're so loud, mm-hmm. and they're so there that people can't successfully block them out anymore.
Yeah.
It's just
mm-hmm.
omnipresent, you know.
It's like, you know, they refer to Kuan Yin as she who hears mm-hmm. the cry of the world. Well,
oh, yeah.
you know, it's like the rest of us are finally hearing it, too.
And the thing,
you know?
And the thing I love about Kuan Yin and Tara and that sort of female goddess energy mm-hmm. is that there's no deal. You don't have to cut a deal. There's no offering. There's no sacrifice. You can offer, but whatever. But the whole idea, her whole deal is help.
Mm.
Please help me. And she helps you.
Mm.
You don't, there's no special conditions. You don't have to give her anything. She's all about relieving suffering just because that's what she does, purely and simply. And I think that is about as good as it gets.
My whole thing has always been that I believe that every belief system
mm-hmm.
is correct for those people who believe in them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And be that Christian or Buddhist or Jew or blah, 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 name it.
Or atheist
or whatever, although I never quite understood atheist. Because I have a hard time with any concept that doesn't believe, you know, that there's something, you know, some
well, you
kind
can,
of
you can actually be a Buddhist and practice meditation and be an atheist.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. it's just, but, and I think that, I think we've come to a point where people are finally getting around to not believing that one way is the only way.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know,
and that
we
definitely,
can all
that,
have
that,
our ways
and that,
of doing,
that definitely is right
know.
At the heart of magic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The whole idea that there's not one way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean,
that it's constantly changing, constantly varying.
You know, we'd, a funny thing that's, you know, every belief system has its denominations. And that applies to pagans. Too. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, it's one of those every Wiccan may be pagan, but not every pagan is Wiccan, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have a myriad variety of combinations, you know. And even within that, that's okay. You know, everybody can do that. Everybody can feel that. Everybody
mm-hmm.
can
mm-hmm.
work with their own way. And it's okay. You were saying?
I have a question for both of y'all to think about for a minute. What are the mechanics of magic?
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking of. Because I was sitting here thinking in terms of just magic itself.
Yeah.
I was thinking how when I feel like I'm really sort of in the zone in terms of magic is just how things are. It's what I'm seeing, what I'm doing, how it feels. Maybe it's a special situation, maybe not. It's somehow that there's no struggle. That there ceases to be... not that there's not effort and emotion and whatever, and passion, but that there's... You're just in the zone where you're connected and you... Like Bobby was talking about, you see what needs to happen. And you do it, and it works.
Mm-hmm.
Or it works, or it plays. And there's just things light up, and things happen. But somehow, for me, there's this energy where you're definitely doing something, so it's not passive, but the struggle has ceased. You're just with the situation, you're with all of the energies, so you can play with them because you're there with them. They're in you, you're them, they're mm-hmm. you, that kind of thing.
And For me, it's... I think of the phrase, the suspension of disbelief. Oof. Disbelief. And for me, that means... things happen when you cease to believe that they can't happen. I believe that certain things don't happen because we've all been bred with, mm-hmm. you know, we've all been raised at some point with some doubt that this is real.
Well, like my article is saying that homosexuality is bad. How many people have that in their head?
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
and it ain't true, and yet it's real because
people have made it.
Because people think it.
People
have been brainwashed.
Exactly.
So part of the
it's thinking that you're
mechanics.
The thing works because you do not allow those tapes that have always said that something isn't real.
Mm-hmm. So part of the. And then mechanics of magic lies in attitudes and values.
Well, that's where you come from. But then there are things you can do to make magic happen. There are practices.
Oh, yes.
There are rituals.
Yeah.
There are
right
coinky dinks.
but it all starts with what's going on mm-hmm. up in here inside
the space
of
you're in.
The space
yeah.
you're in.
Yeah.
It's and then it's the practice.
It's a very open space.
You know, I mean, I spend an awful lot of time talking about the difference between spirituality and religion, and that applies to all religion. I don't even if it's pagan, Wiccan, whatever. The
dogma sucks.
The dogma. Pull the dogma out of it, and all you have is the spiritual. How does it make you feel? What is that energy that makes you feel it? What is going on inside of yourself that makes that right for you?
And
that's what makes it move.
Close.
And you're sort of in love with
you're
in love with everything too, in a sense.
Getting closer.
Great wise
and
one.
Like to
please enlighten
come
us.
Come back to Aristotle's fork for a moment.
Okay.
What's at the fulcrum of the fork? We talk a lot about the fork, and
I don't know.
And basically, on one side of the fork, we have kind of scientific method was born.
Mm-hmm.
Reality is the material world, the physical world. And on the other side of the fork is the things that are non-material, dreams, fantasy, ideas, things you can't measure or that don't have a solid existence. But as I read this book, and this is kind of a theory I came up with a long time ago, at the fulcrum is human experience, what we can experience.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and let me give an example. I can close my eyes and visualize riding on a unicorn naked. I can picture it. I can experience. I can even feel the textures.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even riding on the beach. And I can visualize this and get into a deep meditation. And there I am on that unicorn, just riding in the sunshine.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And at some level, I experience that.
Well, mm-hmm.
How can I experience something that doesn't exist?
Because you're waking up that energy in yourself, like in Tantra, like in Vajrayana practice. You have become that energy, so when you open your eyes again, that's the energy. There you are. Mm-hmm. It's real. It's you. It is you. That's what you are.
The fulcrum is...
You're the whole experience.
Experience.
Yeah.
She had to mention unicorns. Do you have any idea how many unicorns I have in my apartment? Oh, my God.
Doesn't surprise.
Great mother goddess. But it's the yeah the experience the
the human experience
the human experience of
I
it.
I think that's really an important part of it, is that it's not just experience, it's the human experience. Just one little quick side thing. There are all the in the Tibetan system. Mm-hmm. There are all these different realms, ghost realm, hungry ghost, god realms. You don't want to get stuck in a god realm. You don't want to get stuck in the hell realm, even though they're all temporary, but you know, maybe some real long. Anyway, and then there's the human realm. The human realm is the only realm that has aspects of all the different realms, and it's the only realm where you have everything you need to become enlightened, only through human experience. Mm-hmm. So, human experience. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
I was just thinking... I keep going back to things that I've heard on shows and things I've seen in the past or read, and there was a movie that basically put forth the idea that certain things exist or do not exist according to our belief in them.
Mm.
That certain things cease to exist if we cease to believe that they do.
I'm on the fence with that one.
Yeah. I can, you know, go either way on that. But I wonder.
Well,
can we?
I think
common belief can
change things.
But there are. Take something, for instance, like all of these monsters that we have legend of over the last, you know, 1,000 years, the Loch Ness, Bigfoot, all of these things. There is that idea that do they exist because a collective consciousness has brought them into existence and therefore they actually do exist, or... are they just, you know, some realm of fantasy in our minds? I mean, or are they physically real, you know?
I think what I tend to sort of lean towards in that controversy is that we have perceptions. And we can develop our perceptions in various ways through different practices, just through sheer dumb luck sometimes. And there's these dances that the Tibetans do, and they get in full costume, and they manifest the god figures, the deity figures. And supposedly, the average person, good person, nothing wrong with them, sees the dances in the colorful costumes. If you're at a certain point of awareness, the deities manifest.
Mm-hmm.
They are the deities. 3D living color.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, maybe there's a unicorn sitting, or several unicorns sitting in the room with us. And if we were in a certain state of mind, we'd be smiling back at them, you know, or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. I want to throw a question out. Another question.
Mm.
And this is kind of for science stuff. But it also touches on magic.
Mm-hmm.
When did the light bulb first come into existence? Was it when Einstein envisioned it? Was it when he had the first working model?
When Edison did it?
I think it was there before anybody thought about it. I think it's always existed, always will exist, and then somebody finally saw it.
But think
Tesla,
Tesla
had this childhood disease.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the most brilliant scientists said, there's stuff of his we should be using now, and it's only because of corporate stuff that we don't. Because it's so cheap, you can't make money off of it.
The violet wand.
Right. And he had this childhood disease. And then when he came back from it, one of the first things he did was he would visualize the entire machine in his he would have a vision of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would individually make the parts of the machine without putting them together, without trying them and adjusting. He would make them, he'd put it together, and it would work.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, implies that there's an archetype that was pre-existing that he was the channel for.
Yeah.
In a very magical way.
And think about this question.
And Einstein said that his best ideas, he had no idea where they came from. They appeared like magic.
Think about that question in the context of Aristotle's fork.
Okay.
I had an interesting thought.
It's a tuning thing.
I had an interesting thought. In terms of what you were asking before, is that every culture has come up at some point. I love music, so I'm taking this from a musical instrument point of view. Every culture has come up with something that is a stringed instrument, that is a drumming instrument, that is a wind blowing instrument, you know. So where in the collective thing did this come to each one of these? I mean, you know, it's as if, you know, how did so many variant groups from all over the place all come up with things that have similar, you know, a similar core? I mean, they all came, you know, I mean, you can find a flute in Africa, you can find a form of a flute in Native American culture.
That is, culture. Yeah, that is interesting.
I mean, every last one of the cultures has come up with a similar concept to create those sounds we call music.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, again, I mean, I mean, like, Jung, who really, I think, did a wonderful job of bridging science and magic. But he was way, way into archetypes. He was way, and I tend to think that there is the archetypical wind instrument, there is the archetypical whatever, and part of the connectedness of the human consciousness is the people that are receptive, and the shamans or the musicians or the people who invoke connectedness, and they invoke, they find a positive way to tap into people's spirit of celebration and the fact that humans love to party.
Yeah.
You know, and find a way to bring that forth in a positive way. Mm-hmm. So it's not, something like the, you know, gladiators or whatever.
And is there a culture on this planet that doesn't have somewhere in its history a spiritual something?
There's an exception to every rule, but I couldn't name it.
In terms of, is there any group that at some point didn't have some core where this spirit or that spirit made stuff happen? A spirit of the river, you know, where there was a Bacchus or a Zeus or a, you know, Yamaya, you know, whatever. Sort of some deity, some source that said this was the thing that made this happen.
There's a certain independence and reality to deities, but they're also how we focus energies that can't be seen. They're part of how we use, and I think there's always people have always been aware that there's something magic happening. There's something that can't be explained that's going, you know, and so for humans to be able to do something with that, there needs to be symbols to work with. So I think that's and I think that there are consciousnesses that are not in bodies, and they have chosen at some point in however their energy has moved through time and space and whateverness, they have chosen to come and be helpful or provocative or stir up trouble or whatever they seem to do on the planet. And they actually do have a functional consciousness that can be communicated with.
Yeah.
And so that might have something to do with the gods or you know, the grandfathers in Native American stuff, the you know, the spirits and Wiccan stuff, the Dakinis in Tibetan stuff, you know,
yeah,
like that.
And once again, we're talking about what is magic. What is it in us that strives for this thing we call magic? And for me, I think part of it, once again, comes back to both art and philosophy. When we do magic, we're attempting to create a change, a willful change.
I don't know if I totally agree with that, but I'll go with that along with you. But I
okay. There's an intent.
There's an intent, but I don't think that's necessarily has to be will.
How do you?
There's a kind of surrendered response to need, to genuine need, that invokes a response that summons up completely spontaneously.
Well, I didn't say the word best will. I said willful. Subtle difference.
Okay, but yeah, but we're playing with semantics now. You know what I mean? I know what you mean. They probably do too. But anyway, sorry.
I'm so about to mention yet another movie. But there is a character who says, you know, powers do what you will. In the sense of they're not controlling the thing to happen. They're asking the energy out there to make the change.
The best good to happen.
For the best good to happen. For what needs to happen. I mean, so many people, you know, think of it in terms of forcing a thing to happen or pushing a thing to happen.
I mean, how many science fiction stories and movies are there where the character goes, I know what needs to happen. I know exactly what needs to happen. And whatever they do, magical or mundane, just all kinds of comedy of error and disaster and tragedy comes out of what
I want to come back to art for a moment.
Please do.
Yeah.
I love art.
Da Vinci did the painting where God reached out his hand to Adam.
That's Michelangelo.
Oh, Michael. Oh, he's getting names mixed up.
It's me too. I'm lucky if I remember names, much less get them wrong.
Same century, different artists.
Yeah. They were friends.
Yeah.
And bitch rivals.
Yeah, that too.
Anyway,
but that's a whole other issue.
But I think the thing that's always stood out in my mind from that painting is how he is captured in that one image this energy that gets transmitted when humans and humans or with gods.
God is alive, magic is afoot.
Touch.
And
throughout all time there's been, you know, how do healers work? They use their hands to touch. And so we transmit something. Human infants will die without human touch.
Absolutely.
But science can't say what gets transmitted.
Yeah.
They can build mechanical devices.
Well, the human
and the baby will still die.
You were talking about human experience.
If it's not human touch.
What is one of the essential things that you have to be a human? A body. Unless, I mean, that's one of the blessings in Buddhism, is that you have a human birth. So the fact that you have a body that can touch, can connect, can do things, is absolutely, there is no human experience. It's another experience, another conscious experience, but it ain't a human one. You have to have a body. It's essentially about being in a body. I mean, square one.
Disagree.
Just square.
I disagree slightly. You don't have to have a body to touch.
Okay, yeah, I stand corrected. Absolutely. I stand corrected.
But you can touch.
But you have to have a body you have to have a body to have a human experience.
By definition,
yeah. Yeah. We are playing with fine points here tonight, it seems like.
Yeah, well, I mean, we could take that in any direction. I mean, this is, you know, various parts of this are arguments that have been going on for, you know. Well, part of why I wanted to do a subject on magic, because we've never really sat down and talked about, we talked around magic, but we've never talked about
the
magic.
Core of it.
And what it is and what it isn't.
You mean on the previous shows?
Yeah. And so that's partly why I wanted to bring it up, and partly, you know, I do so much work with the sacred sex temple and with human sexuality, and you know, for me, a big part of the magic of sexuality is this magical force of attraction. This other magical force of erotic touch. It's amazing. We can walk down the street, be receiving genital stimulation constantly, doesn't do anything. But when we have intent and focus, all of a sudden we can touch. Probably in very similar ways we're being stimulated just walking down the street. And all of a sudden it's like, becomes charged. And all of a sudden we reach orgasm or a higher consciousness or ecstasy. And that, to me, is one of the most amazing forms of magic, that we can touch a part of the body.
Well, and the idea that the energy comes up and you give it the way it continues, the way it develops, is by giving it away in some way, by touch or whatever. But you know,
you can also masturbate and it's still very good.
But that's still somehow
spending
releasing
energy, releasing energy there. Earlier tonight, I was with some friends. And we were all singing, talking, and hanging out, and whatever. And I have this one friend who always comes to me for a massage.
He has just completely magical fingers. I've seen people melt under his touch.
I mean, but there is something, and this doesn't go as far as the sexual or the, you know.
Well, it's sensual.
But it goes to the sensual, it goes to the intimate.
Oh, yes.
We have to do our.
I was going to let him finish his point.
Oh, sorry. Station
break. Listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener sponsored, commercial free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
So your body was sensually traveling.
So here's the thing. When I do that to somebody, and yes, particularly when they happen to be male, there is, to me, a connection, an intimacy, a magic in that. There is a transfer of energy. There is a moment in which we are connected. We are...
You know them through magic. You absolutely know them exactly what they need through...
Exactly.
You're knowing it, not knowing it in any kind of logical way. You just know it.
But you know it's there.
And your hands
know
it.
It's there. And it's just... And this person has fallen asleep at least twice in my arms in the process of doing this. But there's... There's an energy to which I have no other name but an intimacy.
Right.
And a transfer of they're getting what they need, and on some level I am getting what I need in that moment. And yet it is not a sexual thing. It is not in the more, for lack of a better way of putting it, base way that people think of
it depends how you define sex.
Exactly.
Well,
you know what I'm saying, though, that it's there's something in there that for me is almost impossible for me to actually put into complete words.
But I, you know,
that is energy.
One of the ways I learned a lot about magic was through sex, especially in the 70s. You know, when I was still working through all my fears and trying and seeing what worked, what didn't work. And there was this thing of where I wanted to have fun. I wanted to have a good old time, and I wanted to, at some point during the week, get off. Or the next week, or whatever, depending on how long I wanted to go on. And if the person sort of wasn't really capable of getting their body going, they didn't know how to light up their own lights, if I wanted to have fun, it behooved me to play with them and play with their energy in such a way that all of a sudden they were just crackling and a good time was had by all. And then later, that integrated itself into lots of different aspects of my life, and in terms of stuff that was just magic that wasn't necessarily sexually connected, but it still was exactly the same magic. And in my particular case, that I learned about magic that way. And in terms of what you were talking about, I do some massage work, and I don't do enough. But one of the things that an astrologer told me was, and I was, because I was doing some studying of it, and they said, well, you know, you can learn technique and you can study, but it's in your chart. If you just put your hands on somebody, your hands will know what to do. So it's not a brain thing. It's not. It's just your hands sort of have this power to communicate. Sort of just as hands, not as even connected to your brain. They just know how to communicate. So, I mean, that's getting a little weird, abstract there, but, you know. But I think there's some truth to that.
I don't think that's
I mean, you know, it's, there's sometimes when your penis seems to have a an independent life of its own, where it's sort of doing things like, I didn't know it could do that.
I never knew it could
actually wiggle that way and to get exactly what it wanted. It's really just doing that on its own, to sing out that pleasure.
What is one of the primary symbols of magic?
The lingam and the yoni. Or whatever you call it.
The magic wand.
What do you call it? The wand, yes, the wand.
And well, what is the wand but a phallic symbol?
Well, what's the female counterpart in Wiccan?
Wiccan, the chalice.
The chalice. That's right. Yeah, of course. Sorry.
On a Wiccan altar, you know, there'd be the athame, and the chalice would be symbolized the female.
Or bold, or the feminine energy, whatever. Feminine,
Depending on what you particularly use, there's a lot of difference in that too. What people use for to just
Whatever works.
You know, exactly.
And, you know, I've been playing with some linguistics lately within my own mind around magic and the magic wand and the and the yoni. And, you know, it's kind of like the penis really is kind of magical.
No
as
doubt.
Well as the
especially
yoni.
Especially if you worship it properly.
In the sense that it brings, the penis brings forth the seeds of life and the spark of life, and the yoni brings the eggs of life.
The fruit, the fruition.
And what I find kind of interesting in both symbols, when you start symbolizing them and abstracting them a little bit, how many times they recur throughout art and architecture. And so one of the things that kind of went through my head was, you know, that we're in our modern day culture, in this culture, we've kind of become so anti-sex and so kind of sex negative. But still, it comes through.
I don't think I think there is. I think the pendulum is swinging back. I think that was more true even 5 years ago, definitely 10, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But people are waking up again.
Yeah.
You know, especially the kids.
Yeah.
They've learned how to live with HIV. They've learned how to deal with their fears. They've learned what to do and still be able to enjoy their bodies and each other and lots of multiple partners.
Oh, yes.
Which is a wonderful option.
Well, look at me.
I think there's something.
But I'm talking about the kids
who
came after the fact in mm-hmm. terms of when the pendulum swung to like just fear and taboo.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, is that I think we have finally come to a point where we're finally at the generation where blind acceptance mm-hmm. of what other people held as core beliefs, without question, without discussion, without, mm-hmm. you know, saying, okay, what do I really believe,
mm-hmm.
Is finally coming to an end. I think people are finally coming to a point where it's, okay, what is right for me? What, you know, it's like, yeah, my family has believed this generations back, whatever, mm-hmm. but is this my path? You know, mm-hmm. I grew up in a Roman Catholic family, but I'm not Roman Catholic anymore. I may have gone to church as a teenager.
You do love ritual. That may be the only residual.
Pretty much
you've successfully transformed that.
Well, mm-hmm. well, if any religion more resembled pagan religion mm-hmm. in its practices, the Roman Catholics mm-hmm. have stolen just about everything.
Absolutely.
but that, I think we are, there are so many people now who, you know, aren't afraid of those boogeymen that are mm-hmm. coming to get you if you don't do things, you know, a certain way
mm-hmm.
and are willing to say, okay, maybe not. Mm-hmm. And maybe there
and then
are
they,
other
and then
ways
they, and
of
then
thinking.
And then they try something and like,
and it works, you know.
But that
and
was
maybe it works,
wonderful,
you know. And all of a sudden,
I feel happier, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and I actually still like this person afterwards. Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, living proof in the gay community is, I mean, we have when a lot of us were growing up, we didn't have places like what used to be Lobos and Crossroads and things, and there was no way in hell we were going to be that out of the closet at the age of 12, 13, 14.
Right.
And
no, that's there, true. And there that's are absolutely true.
And every weekend, mm-hmm. I see kids walking into mm-hmm. some of our, coffee, in our coffee shops and stuff, who are as far out of the closet as you can get
right.
at the ages of 14, 15.
More importantly, they a lot of them are living at home with their parents and have a working relationship with their parents.
Mm-hmm.
There were young kids back in the day, and there was the silver dollar.
Mm-hmm.
But generally they were kids that had been kicked out.
Right.
And they were hustlers.
Right.
Or whatever.
And that's the difference I'm talking about is
exactly.
A lot of these kids are
because
now
of the shame and blame.
Yeah,
all the shame and blame.
You know, a lot of that shame and blame is finally
demystified.
And it's like, and you know, I know a lot of kids. I mean, look at the Hatch kids. Look at, you know, any number of kids I see in our community now that they can be who they are, and their parent, and not all of their parents are climbing the walls or ice skating the rings
and
of Saturn
and a lot
every
of them,
time they hear
and a lot
that their
of them
kid
don't
is queer.
Want anybody labeling them. Period. Thank you.
Exactly.
Which sort of causes some discomfort with lots of different kinds of people. Mm-hmm. But hey, just being your there's something to be said for just being yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I
as
was,
a unique and valuable and whateverness kind of thing.
I was sitting with a friend of mine who's transgendered, and two people sitting nearby were questioning one of the staff at this establishment as to what that was. And I'm sort of like, that is a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And what else that is none of your business. You know, it's like, the first thing is you need to know it's a human being and deserves better than that question you just asked.
And that, that, that is an archetype of human existence that has been around as long as the planet. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot, it's been around a lot longer than whatever clothes and lifestyle you're living.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I really do think that even with all the dramas that still exist, that there's that, you know, glimmer of hope that we're coming to some sort of place, mm-hmm. you know, some sort of moment where,
I think we are.
It's like, you know,
where it's no big deal.
Where understanding. It's just where it's no big deal.
Non issue.
And whether it's sexuality or pagan beliefs mm-hmm. or any belief that isn't the, or any way of thinking or doing that isn't what people have for centuries considered the mainstream.
Right. Well, Gigi and I were talking earlier about passion, and you're definitely being passionate there, which is wonderful. But
I can get up on my soapbox sometimes.
Oh, but you say such good stuff there. But anyway, this friend of mine who's in his early 30s, the past couple of nights, I forget exactly the question, but it was saying, well, what was y'all's attitude about sex, meaning in the 70s, and he's quite aware of my, you know, plethora
adventures.
Of experience, yes, my hair curling experiences. Anyway,
so that's what happened to your hair.
Yeah,
that's how it all left.
But anyway, so he said, what was it like? And he said, I think he said, was it all anonymous? Was it just anonymous?
Uh-huh.
And I said, no, not really. I said, I really feel like that a lot of the people, there was some anonymity, but a lot of the times you really got to know whoever you were having fun with.
Mm-hmm.
The difference was that it didn't imply a relationship. It didn't imply y'all were going to go off and live in a picket fence. And it's not, and it wasn't that the sex and the intimacy was not going anywhere. There was the sense that we were all going there together en masse. That it was this huge group of people that were going to this place all together and helping each other get there.
Yeah.
And that was extremely mm-hmm. magic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when the fear, when the disease happened, when the fear happened, the magic and the idea of everybody helping each other.
Right.
Well, I mean, it was still there, but it changed to something. But you see what I'm getting at. You see what I'm getting at.
A good friend of mine.
That I think a lot of people have this false notion that intimacy with a lot of people isn't going anywhere. No, it's you're just going there all together.
You're not going there
in pairs.
A good friend of mine.
Which, and you can go in pairs if you want. You can go there by yourself.
A good friend of mine described, you used the word relationship.
Mm-hmm.
To this person's mind, it's all relationship. It's all about relationship. Now, whether that relationship is a 10, 20, 30-minute experience with another human being or a 30-year experience with another human being, it's all a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's all two people.
And it's all a value.
And it's all a value in its own.
Mm-hmm.
Is two people relating to each other, sharing an energy with each other, exchanging
mm-hmm.
for whatever that is, whether that's 30
and
minutes
maybe,
or whether that's 30
maybe
years.
It's like they sort of say one sentence that contains an idea that you've been needing to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what you came to get. And all of a sudden, the puzzle, there's something you've been puzzling on, and just goes click, click, click.
I've had one some
and it
I've
takes,
had powerful
it
conversations.
It takes 10 years for all the pieces of the puzzle to come together, or
whatever, a lifetime.
I've had powerful conversations that have lasted a half an hour or 30 minutes with somebody who I've never seen again.
Yes.
You know, who's, you know, mm-hmm. who have disappeared on off, mm-hmm. you know, the map.
And who at this point, I don't even remember. And yet, the magic and the beauty that had that brought into my life is ongoing. Yeah. It is still present in me today.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's not about ego.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I must be remembered.
Yeah. What is this thing here? What's happening here?
I would like
She's got this paper.
Throw in my...
Another. Yeah, you know, you've been the Buddha tonight. There's like in the Heart Sutra, they ask Buddha a question and he never says a word, and his disciples say, and at the end goes, that was good. And that's the sutra. Anyway, so you've been being Buddha tonight. Bhikkhu Buddha.
Cool. One of my more powerful sexual experiences was when I was in the middle between both a man and a woman.
Oh, yes.
And they were making love with each other through my body and with me at the same time.
Wonderful.
And it was like this amazing sense of energy flow.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking earlier about relationships and that... You know, in our culture, we tend to see people in couples, you know, two only. And but back in the ancient days...
As if there's only one soulmate. Yeah. Anyway, excuse me.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, there's these modern-day myths that there's one and only one for me. Or the Prince Charming myth that... Oh, I have to save it until I
I'll be Joseph and you be Mary.
Yeah.
And we'll make Jesus.
This beautiful idea of the soulmate. But I think there can be people, you know.
Go with this.
Much longer.
In ancient days, we had the sex temples. And people could have more than one partner.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the whole concept of hand fasting... which kind of preceded marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage was actually a document,
legal...
Another control method.
Well, it was a method of controlling class and property.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even with gay marriage, that's one of the things that they say, we need the legal rights.
I mean, hell.
Anyway, sorry.
But when you go a little further back and discover the magic of the ancient days, that we are capable of loving more than one and more than one at once.
Mm-hmm.
And that there can be some amazing...
My heart seems to work that way.
...magics that transpire when we kind of drop these categories and... kind of look outside the box for a change.
Mm-hmm. The whole idea of polyamory, I mean, the idea that we've, again, it goes back to the conditioning that certain belief systems have tried to enforce, that you can only have one of these and you can only have one of this and you know, never, you know, there's but I think there's so much more to a human experience that it's, you can feel, and it goes back to, for me, it goes back to that whole thing of soulmate too. I mean, it's, somebody can be your soulmate at this moment, and at some point that goes, this, you know, and then another person comes along, and just as much in a, and it's not the same relationship, it's not the same thing, but it can still be soulmate, and you can have that. And I think the spiritual side of us, you know, which is so much bigger than the physical, can have that at the same time with more than one person.
Well, I was thinking that it in terms of the monogamy.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, I remembered how I've had, conversations with like real intense fundamentalist. Even if they're sort of street kids or they're, hippie mm-hmm. fundamentalists or whatever, but they're mm-hmm. fundamentalist Christians. And they have connected with the magic of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And they're ecstatic
mm-hmm.
from connecting with that magic.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to give me the good news.
Mm-hmm.
They want me to be happy the way they're happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, I am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't come from exactly the same manifestation source as you do, but I understand exactly what you're feeling, and I understand that happiness. I've experienced that. They refuse. It gets them really nervous. It mm-hmm. gets them, and nervousness. They can be hostile, or they can get more aggressive. They can just get kind of scared and go away, or whatever. But the point being is, they only seem to think that the magic can come from this one place.
Right.
When the magic is everywhere.
When you're indoctrinated into an
it's
idea.
It's in everything. It's with everything.
It is that energy, that feeling, that happiness can only come from one source. You end up with feelings like that. It does come from only one source
because it's just all the same. Regardless of what phase it has on it, whatever archetype has it, it's all the same.
And
magic.
And yet, the people are so determined to latch onto their one dynamic, their one name, their one
brand,
system.
Their brand name.
It'll get
your spirit real clean.
It's mm-hmm. like,
promise to get you.
That detaching from
better
that.
Better than coffee.
Yeah. Detaching from that and understanding, the idea of many paths to the same source.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Is so, for some people, so far out of their realm of reality, of their idea of reality.
Fear. It's fear.
It's fear because they've been indoctrinated to say that there can't be any other. It has to, and some of the most horrible events in history have occurred because
that's what I feel like I touched on at the beginning of this paper, mm-hmm. is that whole idea, this belief that just the condition of existence of being gay, being homosexual,
mm-hmm.
is inescapably going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That fear, that ingrained fear that if you're gay, then something awful is going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's just not true.
Yeah.
Discussing magics and...
This is an abstract show.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Aren't most of my shows good?
Yeah.
A little abstract. But one of the things I'd like to kind of wrap up with is this whole sense of what are we here for, if not to experience...
Mm-hmm.
And if, as I said earlier,
human experience
is at the fulcrum of Aristotle's fork,
mm-hmm.
it opens up many different realms and possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the true magic.
I have one little thing I meant to say earlier. When you were talking about science, on Charlie Rose, I saw this incredibly hot woman. I mean, she was so sexual, and she kept playing with her hair and pushing it all around as she was thinking, and it was like, God, I've never seen anybody think so sexually. And she is one of the experts, or one of the scientists about string theory and quantum. And just briefly to say, magic and science are not as far apart as they used to be. The more they're finding out, the closer they're getting. So
mm-hmm.
just to the split is evidently not permanent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think...
and only in our minds.
But and the reason I brought up Aristotle's fork was because for 2,000 years...
Absolutely.
Or more than 2,000,
mm-hmm.
We've only allowed language...
Mm-hmm.
to develop on one side of the fork.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have so much problems sometimes
coming up with words to describe.
It's easier to put that side of the FARC in words. So,
but
and then it got enforced.
Well, wait. It is because of the evolution of language.
Right.
Language reflects human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Experience over time. From generation to generation, language will develop around human experience of that time era.
Uh-huh.
And over time. And so what's happened is that when we say something doesn't exist, all of a sudden we shut it off from...
It's not allowed to exist.
It's not allowed to exist. And then
whether
we shut
it
off from a language developing where we can communicate some of these.
And there's nothing that will there's nothing that will make you insane quicker than somebody telling you something that exists doesn't exist. Insisting that something that you know exists
doesn't exist.
It'll make you insane.
You ever hear the saying that if you see a fork in the road, take it.
Yes.
And so with those thoughts, we're wrapping up and moving on to some music or whatever you have lined up.
A little bit of music, then we'll do some round tables.
Until next month.
Everybody be safe and take care of each other out there.
Blessed be.
Oh, wait, I can push the button. Queued it up a while ago when it went to sleep on me. So, little boy George.
Little boy George, I will take it.
Push this button.
Hello, blues lovers. This is the blues.
Hey, how about if I try hitting the CD button instead of the cart button?
I thought that looked strange.
I was wondering why the hell Boy George was having dogs barking. Reminded too much of his community service, I think.
Yeah, well,
let's try this button.
Okay.
Laughter.
Boy George.
Cheapness and Beauty.
Yeah, we have never played that cut, as a matter of fact.
I don't know. What the hell did you play on that one?
Off of the album of the same name, and it is a great album.
What do we normally play?
We usually play, let me see, I play Same Thing in Reverse, Unfinished Business.
Ah.
I play
Unfinished Business, isn't that?
Yeah.
Did someone else sing that?
Excuse me?
Didn't somebody else sing that song?
No.
Too?
No.
Okay. All right. We'll pull a couple things out of here.
Yes.
What you got for us tonight, Chris?
Well, the GLAAD Media Awards were handed out.
Ah, what do we got?
Wait a minute. Who do we have?
Who do we have in there?
Yeah.
We got Ozzy. He's
Jose.
Over here on the...
Hey, Ozzy.
I'm going to turn Merlin's mic off.
And Papa Merlin.
Papa Merlin.
Yeah, he stuck yours right. Left
and
him.
Who else?
It's Jose.
Jose.
Love you too, Chris.
Hi.
The GLAAD Media Awards were handed out.
Oh, yes. Here we go.
There was a little bit of controversy.
There always is.
Well, the reason why there was controversy before was Here TV was upset that they couldn't be nominated.
Why not?
Because they're a gay network.
Oh, the GLAAD Media Awards are for
individual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For. Like non gay network?
Yeah. But, you know, Bravo was nominated, so I don't understand how well that works.
Well, it's not. That's not.
Because Bravo
clear.
Has a TV
right.
show that I doesn't thing. Perpetuate gay stereotypes. That's why.
Yeah. What?
I saw. I think I caught some part of the awards.
Yeah, it should be, you'll be seeing it on Logo.
Yeah.
Which is so twisted, my parents now can get Logo.
Your parents get Logo?
Yes.
Lucky them.
You know, there's a movie running on Logo that I'm in.
What, they're playing that Pick Up the Mic?
Pick Up the Mic is on Logo.
Oh, I'll have to watch.
Check it out.
I've already warned my parents that, you know, that station you don't want to turn on.
I'm in a movie.
Well, they must have satellite.
No, they have AT&T cable.
Oh, how's that working out?
It's a lot better than they were getting with Time Warner.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were having so many troubles with Time Warner, and just on the day, this guy showed up at the right time. I almost think he went back and sliced my dad's cable. So he's having trouble with Time Warner, with them working stuff in the backyard. AT&T comes to the front door and says, "How would you like to sign up?" And he's getting, you know, that and internet for what he was just getting cable for before.
Wow. Wow. I had a discussion with somebody at the phone company, but you know, I like Time Warner works fine.
Yeah.
Just the idea of having your phone, your internet, and your TV all from one place just seems
a little too big. Too big.
Too
brother
much.
Is watching
yeah.
you.
Yeah. If something happens, if a line goes down,
you're screwed.
Yeah.
It's all coming in on the same phone line.
I know.
It's all coming in on the same. I mean, it's not like it's all. It's not as separate as you think. You know, it's like saying you know. Yeah, I get better service from TXU than I get Reliant. It's the same electricity. You're just paying somebody else.
Yeah, you know, I had to turn AT&T into the PUC in the Attorney General's office. They kept calling me to offer me high-speed internet.
Yeah.
And the guy kept bugging me about this. And finally, after calling me for the fifth time and telling him I didn't want it and to take me off the list...
Yeah.
He threatens to not ever call me again when they have special offers or if my service goes down. Fine, then. I turn him in.
Wow. So what's the deal?
So they have Logo, and they just got through something. I was flipping through. You don't have an opportunity to turn on and see exactly what our shows are.
Oh, you should.
On there.
So, how do they like it?
The, what, Logo or AT&T?
No,
cable.
Oh, it's phone cable.
It's a lot better. The quality is better.
Wow. And it's cheaper.
It's cheaper. It's, you know, the interface is a lot more friendly.
Uh-huh.
And you get the DVR with it.
Yes.
So
I knew that.
It's a nice little thing that they've got. Like
did they have the Live Media Awards on Logo this year?
Yes, on Logo.
Huh.
Oh.
And that's what we got into with this.
Yeah.
And the awards they went to.
How many awards can they give out for outstanding contribution to the gay community?
Well, there's three, four, five, seven awards.
Oh, is that one?
Yeah, cool. The Vanguard Award.
And they can still make it last an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah.
Went to Jennifer Aniston.
Only a gay man.
Mm. Okay. The Stephen F. Kolzak Award went to Martina Navratilova.
Uh-huh.
Presented by Lance Bass.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow.
Who's evidently brokenhearted now.
How queer.
Jay Gyllenhaal.
I hear they got
Jennifer
back together.
Jake?
Whatever.
Yeah. He gave... Yeah, that's...
Wait a minute. Jake Gyllenhaal...
gave the award to Jennifer Aniston for Vanguard.
Ah.
I'm very confused about that. Jake is not gay.
Yeah, so...
But he
so
played a gay man in Brokeback Mountain.
So why is he handing out an award for a gay organization?
I don't know. You know, the twisted thing... You know, it was a little surprising to me as I was flipping through the stations, like... 10 o'clock this morning,
yeah.
And
well,
Brokeback Mountain is on.
Right, but it's the whole idea of and friends.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure growing up in the family he did, and his mother's scripts are amazing. I mean, the movies his mother has scripted and his dad.
Oh,
yeah. So he grew up in the film community, and I'm sure has about as comfortable as with gay people as you can be, you know.
I don't know if you know this, Jimmy, but there are some friends out there.
Oh, I know there's lots of friends. But, you know, I'm thinking this is a gay organization, and they should be gay people handing out awards to the straight people.
Yeah, I see your point.
Okay, let me correct one thing here.
Okay.
They gave out seven awards on the first night of the awards ceremony.
Oh. How many?
There's
going to
be 42 media. There's 42 media categories.
Oh my God!
Awards were presented back in New York on March 26th. Then there was the awards from Miami. No, from Los Angeles.
Yeah,
that was tonight or Saturday.
The GLAAD Awards sequel.
And then the rest of the awards will be given in San Francisco in April, by the end of April, and South Florida in May.
Oh my God.
So,
oh my God. For a second there, I thought it was a trilogy, but no, there's four.
So this is for media across the board, radio, television.
I don't know if it goes that.
Broadway.
Okay.
Print.
Outstanding film wide release, Little Miss Sunshine.
Uh-huh.
Outstanding drama series, Brothers and Sisters.
Okay.
It's great.
Outstanding comedy series, Ugly Betty.
That's a good one.
I've never watched that.
I love
the
assistant.
Well, although that assistant is the stereotype. Is the mother of all stereotypes,
but
they do describe that little boy as the youngest gay character ever.
I
think that's what's important and landmark about that show is it's the first time that there's going to be a youthful character that discovers himself that is gay.
It's a positive portrayal.
I've read that.
Because that boy is the gayest thing.
There's only one word to describe him. Fabulous.
As long as he doesn't turn out like the older version show,
he won't.
We're all good.
Outstanding individual episode was Where the Boys Are by Grey's Anatomy.
Mm.
NTR Knight was one who was one of those who accepted the award.
Yay.
Apparently his cohort wasn't on there.
I see.
I wonder why.
Oh.
Can't imagine.
There was an episode where Isaiah and the gay guy had a scene together, and it was like they were talking about what happened to them without talking what happened to them, and it was really quite well done in terms of him really apologizing, basically, on the air, you know, through the script.
Okay.
What was the next one?
The final one was Outstanding Spanish Language Newspaper Overall Coverage.
Yeah.
And it was a newspaper out of Los Angeles called the La Opinion.
Oh. Mm. Okay.
Interesting.
So
I got a question about the cable on the phone line. Do they still have like TiVo and all that kind of stuff? You can record stuff?
DVR.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't see. That's how I don't know.
Well, TiVo is now kind of lost their patent on it because...
Well, that's what I meant. TiVo, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh.
But there is a function like that.
Oh. Yes.
Good.
Next.
Ah.
Well, you said... I wanted to...
Yeah.
You said, somebody said fabulous, and it brought to mind something. We've been saying fagulous for quite a while now, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
I saw it in print for the first time today.
Oh, yeah.
In the twit, in talking about the events going on in Houston. I thought, wow, isn't that cool?
Stephen Colbert has truthiness, and After Hours has fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. There we go.
Well, if Stephen Colbert uses his gut, well, what do we use? I think that goes over everyone's head.
No,
he's like, I don't read books. I use my gut.
That's
the heart of truthiness.
So truthiness.
Your gut.
Okay, next.
We've seen it before with Armageddon and Deep Impact,
yes.
Killer Asteroids. And then again with Capote and Infamous, about Truman Capote.
Mm-hmm.
Now slain San Francisco supervisor Harvey Milk is the next subject to be tackled with dueling films.
About time.
Yay.
All right. Who's playing Harvey Milk?
They haven't gotten to that yet.
No.
Who's directing?
Bryan Singer has attached to direct The Mayor of Castro Street.
Who is gay.
For producer Craig Zadon and Neil Marin, who hope to get the film underway soon, despite Singer's July commitment to a project called Valkyrie.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing the light at the end of a long tunnel. Warner Independent is pushing us to get the film made right away. Some of it might have to do with the enormous success of Brokeback Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gus Van Sant.
It's only taken 30 years, but okay.
Gus Van Sant.
I'm trying to see there. It doesn't sound there. Gus Van Sant reportedly has attached himself to a Milk script by Dustin Lance Black.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
As yet untitled. They're planning to shop to studios next week.
That could be either really good or really bad.
Yeah, I know.
The irony of... Variety notes that the irony of Van Sant's situation, as he was once attached to direct The Mayor of Castro Street,
mm-hmm.
which had been gestating for 15 years.
Oh, my.
Now, in any case so far, when there are dueling movies about the same character,
like the Alexander
you can pretty much guarantee that one of those two depictions is going to suck.
Yeah.
Because one of them is going to take the low road.
Yeah. Well, you know, the documentary, the
sort of
Life
like the Martha
and Times
Stewart
of Harvey
thing,
Milk, is just, it's never
been
topped. It's classic.
It's great.
And I can only see The Mayor of Castro Street as a film version of that.
There's even a children's book about Harvey Milk, right?
Is there? I know there's an opera.
I wouldn't doubt it.
An opera.
Yeah, there is
an opera. Harvey Milk is an opera.
Yep. Yeah.
It's a modern opera, so...
It's got drama, it's got murder, it's got psychosis.
Let's make it
an opera.
Well, let me give you something a little twisted with that.
It's
got Twinkies.
With the work I do out in Tomball,
mm-hmm.
had a client send us a brochure for a realty agency. And I'm looking at this thing, and we ended up not doing the job, but I look at it, and there's a quote from Harvey Milk...
The
front cover.
Wow.
Huh. And I don't know if this person knew who he was, but just thought that what he said worked so well as a realty thing about, you know, the American dream is sitting on your veranda, you know.
Oh, yeah, that quote, yeah.
Something along those lines.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there reading this here in Tomball, Texas, going, a real estate agency... putting a quote from Harvey Milk.
That is bizarre.
Out in Tomball, Texas.
That is a bizarre.
And my coworkers did not know who Harvey Milk was.
Did you tell them?
Yeah, I did mention it. I said, I'm a little surprised on this. And they're like, why? And I go, well, this is a well-known gay rights activist. Apparently, they haven't figured me out yet.
You mean it wasn't obvious? Well, there are very, very strong taboos about talking about what you know in the suburban areas and in town.
I would love to
see
Chris doing his straight act.
Well, isn't he doing that right now? let's see. Okay.
Yes.
Talking about
hurling racist anti-slur comments.
Oh, yes.
We're going to talk about Don Imus?
No.
Oh.
Okay, go on.
Jason Waller, a star from the MTV series Laguna Beach, was arrested for the fourth time in 9 months. The 20-year-old was drunk again.
Oh, my goodness.
You'd think they'd keep him by now.
Who called the arresting officer the N-word, the F-word, and a poor FCC.
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
They did have to mention the fact that the cop was not gay. But like, so this is
funny that they felt the need to mention
What is it okay if to call him that if he is that?
I guess. I mean, you know.
Well, the fact that he used a gay slur like that, well, that just doesn't look good on your record, you know?
Oh, poor baby.
The American Idol accused masturbator has come out to claiming he's not gay.
What?
Mario Vasquez is embroiled in legal proceedings.
Vasquez.
In a claim where he stalked a former Fremantle Media assistant accountant, masturbated in front of him, and propositioned him for oral sex. He's claiming he's not gay, and he left the show for artistic reasons.
Yeah, right.
What show? What show is that?
American Idol.
Okay.
I'm not gay, but I want people to know that I'm very tolerant of gays. I grew up with gay people. Growing up in New York City and growing up in the world of arts is something that's there, and I don't have a second thought about it.
Why is it that every time someone gets confronted with their sexuality, well, I tolerate it, and it's like, no, you don't. You're lying to your teeth.
Well, you know, but at the same time, whacking off in front of somebody without their permission, and maybe there was flirting, who knows what
that's,
exactly happened. But I mean, you know,
I think that's a little bit more than flirting.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not really good manners to wag your weenie at somebody. Just
that depends on what bar you're in.
It's manners.
Yeah,
It has to do with manners more than political correctness. What did that? Whatever happened to class? Exactly. To quote from Chicago.
Yeah. That is kind of common.
Oh, all right.
God, these people are pathetic.
I'm gay, and there have been times when people have been masturbating in front of me, and it was really clear they didn't have my opinion, and I did not like it.
Yeah. Let's see some queer commercialing here.
Okay.
The New York Times article published wondered if there's such thing as a gay car. There is a BMW
ad. They've never been to the Art Car Parade, have they?
I think this year it would be the Jaguar.
BMW is marketing their cars to folks in West Hollywood with putting up ads that has a picture of a convertible car, of convertible that says hard top, firm bottom. It's so L.A.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
that's
good
funny.
Goddess.
Oh, that's clever.
That's funny.
I have to admit, that's clever.
Also,
yes.
They definitely know their market.
Yeah.
I saw this last week, and I hadn't seen. There is a new ad that's playing in New York and Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
But not San Francisco. It was not approved to air in San Francisco for a little product called Boy Butter.
Okay.
I saw that, and an email came through, that was Butt Butter. Sorry.
Well,
Boy Butter?
Boy Butter. It's a lubricant used for anal sex that they have now created a water-soluble. Before it was oil based, so it could not be used with latex condoms.
Yeah.
With latex condoms or the pool.
So they created one that you can. So now they're able to advertise. And there was a commercial, and the funny part about the commercial is it was a takeoff of the I can't believe it's not butter.
Why didn't they show it in San Francisco, did they say?
They couldn't find a station there to play.
I find that unbelievable.
That's sad.
Oh, my goodness.
I could understand if it was Houston, but certainly not San Francisco.
Yeah.
I'm trying to try. There was another commercial one. that I had seen.
Boy
on.
Butter.
That's hilarious.
Oh, boy butter.
I can't believe it's not butter.
I can't believe it's not a boy.
Yeah. Yeah, to which I say, honey, it's no longer cute to be called boy if you've hit your 30th birthday.
Yeah, yeah. No. Well, it's boy.
Only if
boy is a frame
master,
of
can you call yourself boy. Yeah.
It's a frame of mind.
Yeah. Tell that to my gray hair.
But the ones who think they actually are a boy and they're not role playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
true. Role playing's great, but when they think they're a boy and they're like 40.
And dressing like it, yeah.
They spell like B-O-I and it's like, honey,
No, honey. You have to
you were a boy, you were B-O-I about 20 years ago. If, D-O-A
you were,
now.
Honey, you were a boy when Elvis was still alive.
Yes. Stop. If you're calling yourself a B-O-Y, your age has to start with a 1.
Exactly.
Not a 2, not a 3.
Not a 2, not a 3. No. And certainly not a 4.
Unless you have a master.
I wasn't a boy when Elvis was alive.
I am almost... I will be 39 next month.
Ooh.
I have not considered myself a boy.
Ooh.
Since Reagan was in office, okay?
Did you have something else, Chris?
I was trying to find the one that was talking about IKEA ads, but I guess I trashed that one.
I turned 58
back.
Last month, and I couldn't wait till I was 30, and I love being older.
I can honestly say I'm liking the idea.
We only have a couple of minutes. Can we do?
What do we got? What?
Who,
hopefully
what,
he's listening. Tigger has finally gotten reception.
Ta-da!
Yay!
Tigger!
Out the bubbly.
I know, it's so good to hear from him.
Hi, all break out the bubbly and listen to the angels sing songs of rejoicing. Okay, maybe not that big, but it feels it to me. On April 1st, he managed to pick up a part of the show.
Yeah.
A few songs full of static in the round table, not a lot of time, but finally there you were. His first TV crushes, because we were talking about that with... Clint Eastwood as Rowdy Yates, Ron Rawhide, Linda Carter as Wonder Woman.
Well, he's bisexual.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
But I like Bud on Father Knows Best. He had the greatest nipples, and they showed through all those tight T-shirts he wore.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm the Olsen boy from Little House on the Prairie.
I think I was a late bloomer, because I started to think about it.
Oh, yeah.
And Wally is the... best big brother.
I had a thing for Matthew Laborto, who played Albert on Little House on the Prairie. Anyhow.
Jason Bateman. The Hogan family.
Oh, yeah. I've always thought
he's
cute.
He's still fine.
Yeah. And Anthony Michael Hall. Yeah, he's one of the few. He was few of those guys at those time that, you know, puberty did well.
Oh, yeah.
And is gay, in fact. So
yes.
We even had a chance with that.
What?
Okay, we are at the top of the hour
here.
We're going to have to wrap it up very, very quickly because the...
Mr. Schmidt World Depth and Domination Happy Hour.
It's here.
Those degenerate rock and rollers.
Yeah.
Love them.
The hot guy is here, so rejoice, everyone.
Yeah.
Buonanotte.
You may want to turn and face him. You never know.
Stay long.
All right. And now it's time for your TSA.
Hi, I'm Rick Mitchell, and I'd like to invite you to explore a world of entertainment April 21st through April 29th at the Houston International Festival, this year spotlighting China. Make the China Zone your first stop. Visit the Great Wall of China walking tour featuring a 100-foot-long reproduction of a section of the Great Wall of China. Check out the Shenzhen Acrobatic Circus and the Shaolin Kung Fu on the Wamu Center Stage. And, of course, don't miss the World Music Stage, sponsored by KPFT, featuring top artists like George Clinton and P-Funk. The Jazz Crusaders, featuring Ronnie Laws, Lucinda Williams, Angelique Kidjo, and more. Get early bird tickets until April 18th at any Houston area HEB location or online at ifest.org. Or you can purchase tickets at the gate. Come downtown to the Houston International Festival, April 21 through April 29th, brought to you by KPFT.
Come enjoy Pancakes for Peace,
a fundraiser for the Quaker Peace Festival on Saturday, April 28th at the Live Oak Friends Meeting House, located at 1318 West 26th Street, near Ella and North 610 Loop West. Pancakes will be served from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., so you can come enjoy Pancakes for Peace for breakfast or...
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.